Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoy this episode. As always, go to reallifepharmacology.com, subscribe there, get your top 200 study guide. It's a 31-page PDF where I lay out some of the most important clinical practice pearls that you're actually going to see out there and things that I have certainly seen in practice. So again, absolutely free to you. And we'll simply update you when we've got new, you know, products coming out, as well as obviously new podcasts and free materials as well. So again, reallifepharmacology.com. All right, so the drug today was a request from somebody, I believe, on LinkedIn. And I wanted to cover it a little bit. So it's ketamine, which is kind of a unique drug that's historically been used in veterinarian medicine. It is technically classified as an anesthetic. So in humans, I guess, it's potentially useful as an alternative in general anesthesia. Other off-label potential uses, maybe kind of a last line therapy, rapid treatment in unipolar depression. Maybe see it off-label agitation purposes, sedation purposes, maybe rarely for analgesia management as well in the ICU. So there's a lot of kind of unique things with ketamine, which make it really challenging, and somebody experienced with using ketamine definitely is recommended. It's got a couple of different primary mechanisms on how this drug works. So it's got some opioid agonist activity, you know, generally not to the extent of a true full opioid agonist, such as, you know, fentanyl, for example, or morphine. But that's one of the mechanisms that it works by, and it makes sense that there may be some pain relief and sedation associated with that. It also can block glutamate, which, if you remember glutamate, it's an excitatory neurotransmitter, and it blocks glutamate at the NMDA receptor. And so that'll come up in drug interactions as well when I talk about those in the future. So some potential advantages, I guess, of ketamine compared to maybe some other traditional anesthetic agents. Generally, at lower to moderate doses, it's not going to impact the airway as much as, say, a full opioid agonist like fentanyl, for example. May help kind of reduce the need for higher propofol dosages. May also be advantageous in patients who are already opioid tolerant, where that escalation of further opioid doses gets to very high levels. You know, use of ketamine may be advantageous in that patient population as well. Therapeutic dosages versus overdose dosages, there definitely is a difference. In general anesthesia, many agents will lower blood pressure, which can lead to a challenging situation in patients who already are hypotensive. So ketamine does have the potential clinical quirk at lower to moderate doses used in anesthesia that it can have a mild sympathetic effect in raising blood pressure and raising heart rate, cardiac output, and intracranial pressure as well. So again, this can be good and bad. Take a patient with severe ischemic heart disease or severe hypertension, and we add ketamine on. That can certainly have a deleterious effect, a bad effect, on patients with those pre-existing conditions there. Other things in the adverse effect profile category, you need to be aware of the emergent effect with ketamine, and this is maybe one of the reasons why it isn't used as a mainstay anesthetic agent, is what's called the emergence effect. And that's basically psychedelic type symptoms that can happen upon a patient sort of coming to after anesthesia. So hallucinations, vivid dreams, nightmares, terrors, things like that can happen to patients. And obviously that's not a very, comfortable thing for our patients to have to go through if they do experience that. So definitely be really careful about that. Be very aware of the psychedelic nature of the ketamine medication there. Again, dosing is critical. Maybe at lower to moderate dose, you're probably more in the range of some of those psych symptoms, agitation, hallucination, altered senses. And again, as we get more into the overdose stage, which you may see in, a drug abuse type situation, then we're going to go more towards sedation, coma, and obviously death can happen as well if the overdose is severe enough there. So contraindications, things to think about. So if you know a drug like this has the potential to cause psychiatric symptoms like hallucinations, for example, well, a patient population you're probably going to avoid it in is, patients with schizophrenia. So definitely think about that mental health background and making sure that we're probably avoiding this agent in patients who have had issues with those things in the past. Of course, this is a controlled substance. There's a risk of dependence, and then obviously associated with that dependence, when patients come off that medication, we do have the potential with psychotic symptoms and associated with withdrawal as well. All right, so that kind of wraps up the first section. Let's get into drug interactions after a quick break here. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, the MTM exam, geriatric exam, ambulatory care, pharmacotherapy, or NAPLEX, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got links to everything there. If you're another healthcare professional, just looking for more clinical practice pearls, experience with reading cases, clinical interpretation of medications, lab monitoring, all that good stuff, drug interactions, we've got a lot of resources. Books on Amazon, Audible books for free, which you can get your first Audible book for free. So definitely, I've had numerous people take advantage of that. So go do that if you've never tried Audible. But again, go check out the resources. MedEd101.com/store helps support our sponsor, which obviously helps keep this podcast free for all to be educated from. All right, so let's finish up with drug interactions on ketamine. So you've got to think about the CNS depressant activity of the drug. That can certainly have additive effects when we're talking about opioids, benzodiazepines, other, sleeper type medications. That's one of the things, first and foremost, I would think about. Other considerations, I think about the metabolism of drugs and if there's any interactions there. So ketamine is actually primarily metabolized through CYP2B6, that's B as in boy. And to be honest, currently there aren't a lot of commonly used drugs that are out there on the market that are going to potentially create this interaction. So any medication that would inhibit CYP2B6 could potentially raise concentrations of ketamine. Fortunately, again, pretty rare that you're going to come across a drug that can do that, but always a good idea just to run a quick drug interaction screens particularly if a patient's on maybe a new drug or, you know, maybe a drug you're not comfortable or familiar with. Also, in the metabolic pathway of ketamine is CYP3A4. So it's partially broken down, not primarily, but partially broken down by CYP3A4. So CYP3A4 inhibitors, let's take your classic example of grapefruit juice, can increase concentrations, while CYP3A4 inducers, your rifampins, your tegretols, your phenytoins, those can all lower concentrations of ketamine. So again, if you're using this for anesthesia purposes and, you know, you've got somebody with a history of seizures and maybe they're on carbamazepine or phenytoin or something, you got to recognize that those concentrations of ketamine could be lowered due to that interaction. And the last drug interaction I wanted to mention is associated with its mechanism of action. So if you remember, I mentioned that ketamine can antagonize NMDA, can block glutamate at those NMDA receptors. There's also another drug that's used in dementia. I believe I've covered it already, but that drug is memantine, or brand name Namenda. And so there's an increased risk of kind of additive effects when we add ketamine on top of a dementia patient potentially that's taking memantine. All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Questions, comments, reach out on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, or MedEducation101@gmail.com. Go support the sponsor, MedEd101.com/store. Also, go subscribe at RealLifePharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF, top 200 study guide. Great if you're in, you know, pharmacology classes or if you're taking board exams soon. Nice, unique resource there. If you enjoyed this episode, enjoy the podcast in general, please leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It's greatly appreciated. Obviously helps us reach more people and grow the podcast and share the wealth of education that I've been fortunate enough to learn along the way. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.